church I know about in Moss Bluff, Louisiana, and they are the most giving church I have ever seen. When we were there, we would drive miles, when my dad was an evangelist, we would drive miles away just to try to eat by ourselves, just so we could pay for our own food. I know that sounds really weird, why would you want to do that? But it's true. All we wanted to do was just have a time to ourselves where we paid for our own food and felt normal. But it didn't matter how far we drove, it always seemed like we ran into someone in that church, and they always somehow saw us all the way across the restaurant, and they always took care of our meal. But not just that, they were always giving. The reason I bring this up is there's a young girl there who just recently started going to the church there for the past couple years. And she started with nothing. She had a bed and an apartment, and that's it. Soon, I started reading her message the further she went along, and she said, "I now have a washer and dryer, courtesy of pastor and family. I now have a dishwasher, courtesy of someone in the church. I now have a vehicle, courtesy of someone in the church." And she just went down the line, and time again, someone bought her something. But if you were to go through that church, almost every single person in that church owns their own business, and they are doing extremely well because they know of the blessings of God. And they have no fear in giving back what God has already given them. God really is a good God. Amen? Amen, amen. Y'all can get your Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. I have no idea how this is going to go. Number one, I was going to say I've never preached this before, but that's not hard for me to, having only been preaching for about 2 years now, like, almost everything's still new. But I haven't preached in this mindset before, this area. God is, he's dealt with me, let's just say that he's definitely dealt with me. And it really hit me. I thought I was going to be taking a different mindset, but as I came up here after church this morning, and I started praying in the altars, God, it's just like a burden, and I was just weeping and crying, because I feel like there's just a burden on me, and I hope I can definitely do what God wants me to do. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, look at verse number 3. "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against God, the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Y'all don't have to turn there, but in Ephesians 6 verse 10, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." And this is where I want to focus. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand in the evil day. And having done all to stand," the Bible then goes in the next verse and says, stand therefore. Just for a few moments of time, I don't feel like it's going to be very long at all. I'm just going to preach to you for a little bit, a trophy of hell. Let's ask God to move in here and for him to touch every single one of us. We need his anointing to fall and talk to each of us. Help him to open our hearts, I pray, God, here today. Oh God, don't let any spirit of hell come against this church tonight. We bind every spirit, God, that comes against us. In the name of Jesus, let there be liberty in this place tonight, I pray, oh God, right now. Oh, in Jesus' name, God, we got to have you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, in Jesus' name, God bless you, and you may be seated. The definition of the word casualty is a person killed or wounded in a war or accident. Another definition for the word casualty is a person or thing badly affected by an event or situation. Warfare is never pretty. There is nothing pretty or good about war. I was reading up on, as I was studying about this, World War II, every country that was affected, it said that it cost up to the countries in their, in this politics, up to $1 trillion just for World War II. $1 trillion. 70 million casualties in World War II. The crazy thing about it is 20-something million of those, about 24 million, was military personnel. The other 40 to 50 million were civilian casualties of that war. I copied a little section down according to battlefield.org. Throughout the course of the Revolutionary War, an estimated 6,800 Americans were killed in action. 6,100 were wounded, and upwards to 20,000 were taken prisoner. Historians believe that at least an additional 17,000 deaths were the result of disease, including about 8,000 to 12,000 who died while prisoners of war. Unreliable imperial data places the total casualties for British regulars fighting in the Revolutionary War at 24,000 men. This number includes deaths, injuries, deaths from disease, prisoners of war, and those who remain missing and they never knew about. The other German soldiers who are identified as Hessians, 1,200 were killed, 6,300 died of disease, and 5,500 deserted and settled in America. War is never pretty. The casualties of war is never pretty. It's bloody, it's gory. There's nothing pretty about it. The after effect, you still feel it till this day. What's going on in Ukraine is not pretty. Nothing about it is captivating. It's sad what they're going on there. Brother Wirtz mentioned it today, how it's so sad what they're doing to the civilians. My wife told me, it might have been this morning or yesterday, how they got a hold of a one-year-old boy and they raped and killed that one-year-old boy. There is nothing pretty about warfare. So as goes in our physical life, so goes our spiritual life, though. There is nothing pretty about spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare is not to be taken lightly. It is a serious war. It is one that wars 24/7. This war does not end. It has no nights. There is no rest unless you're in the sanctuary. This is a consistent battle. We war not after the flesh, nor the blood, but in the spirit. That's what the Bible said in our reading in 2 Corinthians. I'm going to read it again. We walk in the flesh, but we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God, to the pulling down of stronghold, to the casting down of imaginations, and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. We looked at how we war against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. But it doesn't end there. The Bible gives us what we must have to fight this battle. We need the whole armor of God. We need the breastplate of righteousness. We need the sword of the Spirit. We need gospel shoes on, as the song says. We need the whole armor of God. I was talking to the young people Friday night, and I simply asked them, if the Bible says you need the whole armor of God, that you need, it's not a want, it's not an optional. If you need the whole armor of God, why is it telling you you need armor? When you need armor, you're not going to put on armor and you go to sleep that night. You're not going to go put on armor and go play video games in your room or whatever you want to do for fun. Armor is not to protect you from a screen. Armor is not to protect you while you sleep in bed. You are going to see battle when you are in armor. The Bible knows that we are going to see battle in this spiritual life. It's not going to be easy or simple or something we can just come to church and casually go through. If you casually have church, you're going to end up a casualty. We have no place to have casual church. We have no place to sit aside and slumber and sleep while we war after the Spirit. We must war in the Holy Ghost with spiritual warfare. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In the battle, as I said, there are no days or nights off. It's super easy to come to church and take the easy way out of service. I understand how it is. It's super easy. Some of y'all might be like, Mikey, you work at home. Mikey, all you do is drive all day. You go wherever you want for your work. I've worked other jobs before. It's exhausting. It is tiring. But that doesn't, in any vocabulary, that does not excuse the fact to come to church and just sit there. That does not excuse the fact to come to church and just let everyone else do it. I call it like the shovel mentality. Whenever there's preaching, whenever pastor's been preaching, we need to up our prayer. We need to up our worship. There need no. That goes to sister so-and-so behind me. That goes to brother and so-and-so to my left. This is for each and every one of us. Brother Hunter, you're not in this war alone. There's me and there's brother Gavin. It's not just you, but there's no nights off for you either. There's no nights off for me. I've got to consistently pray. I've got to consistently worship. I can't afford to let there be a night off. I can't afford for there to be, to me to sleep inside by. Jesus' name. God's trying to beckon us as a church to go higher. I asked the young people. I haven't been here. I missed last Sunday. But from what I gathered last Sunday, that y'all had an amazing church Sunday night. I wasn't here, but I heard about it. There was amazing church Sunday night. I heard that on Wednesday night. But also what I heard Wednesday night was, come on, we can do better than this. Come on, we need to take up our prayer by 10 to 20 notches. Our prayer is slacking. There's something slacking. I don't ever want it to be said that my prayer is slacking. I don't ever want it to be said that there's warfare going on and I'm in the trenches sleeping, that I'm in my bed or wherever sleeping as my brethren fight. This is a serious battle. And if I don't take it serious, it's easy to lose your soul if you're not taking this battle serious. If it was preached, then we need to do it. God says he puts those in authority over us, puts those who watch for our souls, that they may give an account for us, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. They may do it with joy. He puts them over us. They're the watchmen on the wall. They're our shepherd. They know what they see. So therefore, when pastors come in or Brother Worse or any preacher is coming, and they're like, come on, church, I see danger out there. There's wolves lurking out there. There's a problem out there. You don't need to do that. You need to be praying. You need to be worshiping. We can't just take that for granted. Because the thing is we are the ones in the walls. We're the ones sitting there. We don't know what's out there. But they're the watchmen. They're watching for us. Watching for our souls. The Bible talks about if they are the watchmen and they don't warn us, then the blood is on their hands. But if they warn us and we obey not, that's our problem. That is our problem. We need to take into account what the men of God are talking to us about. It's important for our pastor to preach prayer. One thing that I was feeling while I was praying is it is highly important to not put bounds or chains on the pulpit. I've heard Brother Worse, the first time I heard Brother Worse preach, it made me smile. I'll be honest, when I first heard it, I was not exactly expecting it. But when he preached, he just said, you don't need to be a pew warmer. He just said it like straight up how it was. I opened my eyes and I was like, yeah, amen, amen. But then he just started going on from there. And if I'm not mistaken, he started preaching on how young people need to get more connected. We need to get away as we grow up from our video games. And when he said that, I was like, man, oh, amen. I was not expecting that from Brother Wirtz. But one thing that I loved about it is there is no chains or bondage on Elder Worse so he can preach. There not need to be any chains on a pulpit. When the pastor preaches, we need to get behind the man of God. When Brother Worse preach, we need to get behind the man of God. There's too much now these days. There's too much of trying to control the pastor. More than preaching with the preacher, it's more judging and critiquing what the preacher preaches. It's too much of, oh man, Brother Worse is riding the edge. Brother Mike is riding the edge right there. Mike, you say that, you're going to make me mad. There's too much of that nowadays. There's no room for that. This is a spiritual warfare. They are our leaders. They are our shepherds. We need to obey them and preach with them. As they preach on, some things I put as they preach on, there's too much change. I don't care. I've heard my dad say this as well. I don't care what the government says is okay. I know we need to obey them that have the rule over us. But when they start crossing with what the Word of God says, it is not right. It will never be all right in my books for a man to marry another man. It will never be all right for a woman to marry another woman. It's never okay for our young men to act like sissies. The Bible calls it effeminacy. We don't have room for that in our church. And Joel, we don't have room to be listening to worldly music, people. We don't have room to be dealing with worldly relationships. We need to be in the book and how pastor is preaching it. Amen, amen, amen. The part of this Isaiah 40 in chapter 8 says, the grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but my word shall stand forever. That's why when we're listening to what pastor's preaching, when we're listening to, there needs to be no same-sex marriage. The Bible has always said that. The Bible will never change. They might be trying that. I can't do that. I had a friend tell me. I had a friend tell me once that this was regarding another matter, but he said, I don't believe God will let us go through that. My opinion was, they went through that back in the Bible days. They went through that back in the Bible days. They went through persecution back in the Bible days. They were burning people at stake back in the Bible days. They were decapitating people. There was, as Brother Worst preached this morning, they had motives back in the Bible days, though. The people in the Bible, the 12 disciples, they had motives. Minus one, his motive was wrong. But they all had motives. They had motives that upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. They had the motives. They had the motive correct. There was a cause. As in 1 Samuel, David said, is there not a cause? There is a Philistine defying the armies of the living God out there. Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause, Brother Gavin? There is a cause. Is there a cause when you've got a blatant spirit standing before you? Is there not a cause to go to battle? What is our motive, as Elder Worst preached? What is our motives? There's a reason we still preach against TV around here. There's a reason we preach against what women wearing obtains to a man and man wearing what obtains to a woman. The Bible says no. They will never change. The Bible will remain the same today and forever. Too many people these days, as I said, they're rather than soaking in the message, they sit back and critique the whole message. When pastor preaches, it needs to be for ourselves. When Beller Worst preaches, it needs to be for ourselves. Whenever it comes, it might not even portray to us. You might not think it portrays to you. But always take into account your soul and be like, God, am I dealing with this? God, do I have this in me? Be like, oh, I just don't have this in me. Because there is a fault, there is a fail to that. You can get so comfortable with that where we can be like how James talks about. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man it was. The Bible is for every one of us. If we hear and not do, it's like looking in a mirror, being a complete wreck. Hair not fixed, in pajamas, and we go on along our day. Try to go get an interview looking like that. It ain't gonna happen. But the same goes for church. If you just be a hearer and you walk out, you need to be a doer. God's word says we need to do what we are hearing, what the pastor is preaching. Amen. Our soul depends upon doing what the word of God says. Our soul depends. God does not want any casualties in this war. There are already too many casualties. There are already too many trophies of hell down where that Satan has conquered. There's too many preachers that have fallen that are now hell's trophies that he is hanging up down on his wall, that he just can gloat about all these trophies. There's too many saints that he's conquered that have failed in the battle, that have hung up their swords, that have hung up their shields and stopped fighting. There's too many casualties that have happened in this walk with God. We don't have time to be another casualty. God's reaching and drawing for us. We don't need to be casualties. Young people, it's time to get serious. There's no time to slack. There's no time to sit aside. There's a time when you need to get it for yourself. You hear about coming to the church and praying. There's a reason for that. There's a reason in getting it for yourself. If you don't get, you're going to be a casualty of war. You're going to be a trophy of hell. We don't need that. Oh, let's lift our hands and love God here tonight. Oh, God, come on, let's pray, let's pray, let's pray. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, God. Oh, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, this is too much of a serious battle. The enemy does not fight fair. When fighting for your soul, he will not fight fair. There is no rules in warfare. There will always be double crossing. There will always be killing. There will always, the Bible says he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He's not interested in just stealing what you've got. He ain't interested in just killing you off. He wants to destroy you to the point where you are unrecognizable. He wants to get rid of you completely out of the picture. How we talked about with the fishing, he's going to hook you and he's going to reel you in. You can run and you can run and you can run, but do not play with Satan. He does not play fair, or you will end up a casualty of war. Oh, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. That's where the Bible says in John 10:10, the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. In Ephesians 6 and verse 10, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. I told y'all I'm not going to be super long, and I'm about to wrap it all up. But principalities are kingly or magisterial rulers. Powers are powers, authorities, or weights, especially moral authorities and influences. The word ruler is used of an angelic or demonic power controlling the sublunary world. These are not devils to be played with. We've all heard of these. These are just your normal spirits that we know to pray against. These are the ones that come to our mind. During prayer, it's easy to say, God, I pray against every spirit of hell. God, the spirit, every principality, power, spiritual wickedness of high place, everything, God, I come against it in Jesus' name. But there's a couple spirits that we forget to consider. There's a few spirits, and these are seducing spirits. Seducing spirits are those spirits who just come unawares. They're crept in unawares. They come in, and they just start trying to woo you. It's not just blatant. It's not just in your face. It's not just, hey, go drink. Hey, go do drugs. It ain't going to be blatant in your face. It's seducing. Like, hey, you want, just come with me. It's okay. And he might not get you day one. He might not get you day two. He may not get you month one. He may not get you month two. But he ain't going to play fair. He's going to deceive. That's what a seducing spirit is. It's a deceiving spirit. It'll consistently deceive you until eventually he tears down your guard. And if you ain't prayed through, if you ain't ready for this warfare, if you aren't in this spiritual battle, you're going to be a trophy of hell. You need to be tapped in to what the Spirit says. As long as these spirits are going to come to you, I'm just using these words because these are things I've heard. And they're just going to say, hey, pastor wants you to take it up 10 to 20 levels. It's okay. Just pray a little. Prayer is okay. Hey, worship, you don't have to worship. You don't have to worship and do exuberant worship. You don't have to be energetic. Just a little worship is okay. As long as you're lifting your hands, as long as you're clapping your hands, as long as you're doing something, that's okay. You don't have to get out there and you don't have to touch God. When you pray, do it quietly. Just pray. Just pray. Don't just, you know, think about it in your head. It's that God hears every thought. It's all right. Hey, man, don't worry. If you miss one service, it's all right. You can blame it on being sick. Don't. Just miss one. You've got multiple others. Just miss this. Hey, missing Tuesday night prayers is okay. It's, after all, it's not important. You've gotten away with Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday thus far. Why do you need Tuesday night prayers? It's not important. These are seducing spirits, folks. These are seducing spirits. deceiving your mind, deceiving yourself. You have no idea. Like, this might be right. This might be okay. But we've got a pastor standing up here on the wall like, hey, I see what's going on. I see what's going on. You need to be praying through. You need to be repenting. You need to be in these altars. They're seducing spirits, seducing the saints of the Most High. Amen, amen. The spirits will lie to you and tell you just a small taste of worldly music is okay. Maybe just a small taste. The Bible says those that take pleasure in them that do them is sin. You just have to take pleasure. That's all it is. That is sin. They will destroy you before you know it. You'll be unrecognizable in the world. You'll be long gone, and there will be no way back. If you backslide, I have heard this from multiple people. If you backslide, it is 10 times harder for you to find it back. And if you find your way back, it is twice as easy to leave as it was the first time. It does not get easier. Just a little taste does not make it easier for you. It does. I'm sorry, I know this is a little bit different, but I felt this is what God dealt with me about. This is serious. This is really serious. This is nothing to play about. If Tuesday night's prayer called, we need to be here because there's an adversary, the devil, a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. If church is called, we need to be here. Folks, this is for your soul. This is for your children's soul. This is for the soul of others. There is a cause that we are in war. But more importantly, your soul is what is most important. They're seducing spirits trying to get a hold of young people, trying to get a hold of the adults. Just because you grow old does not mean it gets easy. It does not. It does not. I'm coming to a close here, and we can all stand. This is where I'm wanting to go. I know of God gives us mercy and God gives us grace. I'm not saying there's not mercy and I'm not saying there's grace. But I am saying some of us are taking this a little too lightly. Some of us are playing with stuff that we don't need to be playing with. Some of us could be listening or looking at stuff we don't need to be looking at. There's things that this is spiritual warfare and you need to get it right with God. This is spiritual warfare, and these altars are made for you to come pray and ask God for mercy. And you might say, Micah, I've got multiple other services in the future. And as we bow our heads and close our eyes and start praying, there's just two things I want to read to you. Let's start. Have you ever heard of Ananias and Sapphira? You ever heard of Achan? These people were children of God that played around with spirits that they should not have been playing around. Ananias came forward, and Peter said unto him, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not owned? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? And the Bible says right here, Ananias, hearing these words, immediately fell down dead. Ananias never got a second chance. Ananias never had an opportunity to get his lie right. He lied to the preacher and to the Holy Ghost, and he never had a second opportunity. Achan was a child of God with Joshua, went to war, and he caused casualties for the children of Israel. And Achan was immediately, him and his family, both were stoned to death. He never had another opportunity. These altars are open if y'all want to come tonight. God's opening up one another chance. I'm not one to say you have one more opportunity. I'm not going to say that. I'm not the pastor. But I believe God is giving us one shot at mercy. God's given us a warning here tonight. I don't want to be like Ananias and Sapphira. I don't want to be like Achan and never have an opportunity again. Oh, in Jesus' name.